We have no verse today from the Bhagavatam, because today is the very auspicious appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I decided to speak on his pastimes. Of course, we honor the Bhagavatam daily. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of all the Vedic tree of wisdom. And there is two Bhagavats, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So today we will speak more about the great person Bhagavat, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. First, I still chant the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Stam Saji Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantha Radha Kantha Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavan Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is our Param Guru, the spiritual master of our spiritual master. And all these great spiritual masters in our disciplic succession, they are great souls, Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated souls. And Krishna sent them to this material world to shower his mercy upon us. And these great acharyas in our line, they are situated in the lila of the Lord. They are great personalities. It has been known, this is confidential information, that most of our acharyas, they are manjaris, which means they are gopis. They are like super goddesses of fortune, says Srila Prabhupada. And if you see Srimati Radharani on the altar, then you see that she holds her hand like this in this mudra, which means that she is just wanting to bless all the living entities with Krishna consciousness. Because the greatest blessing of everything is pure Krishna consciousness. The living entities in the material world are very miserable they are suffering for many, 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 many lifetimes. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he tries to rescue them and bring them back to the spiritual world. And so great devotees of the Lord have come to this world only with one purpose, and that is to preach Krishna consciousness, to free the suffering living entities and bring them back to Godhead. So these are empowered souls. They become Shaktyavesh, instruments of the Lord. Therefore, Lord Shiva, he says to Parvati that Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnor Dradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Taidiyanam Samarchanam. Lord Shiva told the goddess Durga, "My dear Devi, although the Vedas mention worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost and is ultimately recommended. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is the rendering of service to Vaishnavas, who are related to Lord Vishnu." So, instead of worshipping the Lord, now we worship the Vaishnava today. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And that includes that we worship the Lord. Because also it is said in the Guru Ashtaka prayers, Sakshadaridvena samasta shastrer uktastata bhavyata eva sadbir kintu prabhurya priya eva tasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. The spiritual master should be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he's the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all the revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. So the great spiritual masters are honored as much as the Lord himself, because they are the most confidential servitors of the Lord. So I have some printout here from, I think it was written by Stephen Knapp. And this is like a abridged biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And it is entitled The Lion Guru, The Singha Guru. And I would like to read some of this and also explain something from my own meager realization. Okay. During the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's stay on this planet, the pure religion of Vaishnavism, taught by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was essentially lost and had come to be considered of the degrading standard of simply a sex religion, or at best a cult of religious fanaticism and sentimentalism. So there has been this Sahajaism in 2 centuries ago. It was very prominent when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. And so Sahaja means to take it cheap, to take spiritual life or Krishna consciousness very cheap. And that means that you want to have both. You want to have spiritual ecstasy and have a confidential relationship with Krishna, and at the same time maintain gross types of sense gratification, like illicit sex, intoxication. So this is what the Sahaja sects did. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked very hard to revive pure Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote many books. He wrote letters, he corresponded, he traveled a lot, and he established again pure Vaishnavism. But when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati came to an old age, he was very, very unhappy, because he saw that still some great preaching has to continue when he left. So therefore he prayed to the Lord for a son, to send someone to continue this great mission. So usually the father, when he has a business, then the son is inheriting that business, and therefore father, he desires to have a son. Then when I have a son, then he can continue the business, and then whatever endeavors I made to become opulent, wealthy, prosperity, then my son will continue, and then that is wonderful. Usually that's done. The family business is passed over to the son. So the transcendentalists also do that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed to Lord Vishnu, send a ray of Vishnu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur appeared, and he was called a ray of Vishnu. And he was very, very special. Very, very special. And so... I can read a little more here. However, so that this preaching of Nam Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, could go on nicely, even after the Thakur left this world, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya to send him an assistant and a successor from the Lord's personal staff of preachers. Answering the prayer of the Thakur, a son was born to him on February 6, 1874. While he was serving as the government magistrate in the holy city of Jagannath Puri. So through various signs, the Thakur and his wife, they could see that the child was actually the great devotee that he had been praying for. And the first sign that many people witnessed when he was born was that his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body just like a Brahman thread. Oh, it's this way around. Over the right shoulder, and go like that. No, left, what is it? Yeah, like this, like that. And so that is, everyone was astonished about that. And then later, when there was a Ratha Yatra festival, and during the Ratha Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri, that's where he was born, that's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived, the cart passed by their house, and the car stopped, and nobody could move the car. And then many people were trying to make the car moving again. And then the mother of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, actually his name was Bimal Prasad, so he that was his name given by his parents. So she took the baby to Lord Jagannath, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very respected gentleman. So they recognized his wife, and then they let them go in front of Lord Jagannath. And then she took the opportunity to hold the baby up like that at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And then a large garland dropped from Lord Jagannath and fell right on Bimal Prasad. And so then everyone became even more convinced that this is a special personality. Okay. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's heart was filled with joy, for he knew, beyond all doubt, that this child was the answer to his prayers. As the boy grew, the Thakur instructed him in the science of Krishna consciousness. At the age of only 7, Bimal Prasad Datta, who was later to be known as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, had memorized all 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita and could explain each one. Okay, you imagine 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, 7 years old, and you can explain them all. That's extraordinary. One day the boy took an unoffered mango from the room of the family deity and ate it. Thakur Bhaktivinoda chastised him for it upon catching him and told him that it was not proper Vaishnava behavior to eat food that had not first been offered to the Lord. At that time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, taking his father's words very seriously, made a vow to Thakur Bhaktivinoda that he would never eat mango again. Through his whole life, he kept this vow very faithfully. Whenever someone would offer him a mango, he would say, "No, I cannot take. I am a great offender." Srila Prabhupada said that his disciples, when he was very old, then they tried to offer him mangoes, but he always rejected. And he always would say, "No, I cannot take. I am a great offender." At the age of 10, while attending the Sirampur missionary school, he was initiated by his father into the Hare Krishna mantra and a Narasimhadev mantra. In school, he invented a novel kind of phonetic alphabet, which is called Bikranti or Bikanto. Later on, he attended a special Sanskrit college where he became expert in Sanskrit grammar, Vedic Shastra, and different views of philosophy. Due to his lifelong celibacy, he had such a clear memory that even in his last days, he could reproduce word for word any passage of any book he had read 50 years back. That's called a photographic memory. And here it says, due to his lifelong celibacy, he was a Naistiki Brahmachari. And Srila Prabhupada said that he lost never even one drop of semen. And that is Naistiki Brahmachari. And the definition of Brahmacharya is given by the great, I think, Yajnavalkya. And he says that even it is mentally, it's not only physically, but mentally, not even having a thought about sex life once, that's the real Naistika Brahmachari. And Srila Prabhupada also sometimes says that the real sign of being advanced in Krishna consciousness is to be free from sex desire. That's how we can measure, that's the parameter, you know. At college, he read all of the books in the library. Can you imagine he goes to college and he doesn't read just a few books, but all the books? I heard, Jaya Shishi Radha Gopinath. I heard also that he learned his English by learning an encyclopedia by heart. Or something like that. That's, dictionary. A dictionary. Encyclopedia is a little more than that, yeah. So, he read all the books in the library and made private studies into higher mathematics, international history and philosophy, and Vedic astronomy. At that time, he attended a cultural association in Calcutta called August Assembly, and in which the study of various philosophical and theological topics was conducted. He was such a powerful debater that no one's arguments could stand up against his vast erudition and scholarship. At the age of 23, in the year 1897, he opened a school in Calcutta, which he called Sarasvata Chattopadhyay. It was here that he began teaching Vedic astronomy. Many prominent and scholarly Calcutta gentlemen were among the students. At this time, he also edited the monthly journals, the Jyotirvid and the Brihaspati, and published several authoritative documents on Vedic astronomy, such as the Surya Siddhanta, which he had written himself. He was offered a chair at the University of Calcutta by Sir Asutosh Mukherjee, but he declined, thinking that it might be too much an impediment on his devotional life. Since 1895, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was attending the meetings of his father's Vishwa Vaishnava Raja Sabha in Calcutta. In 1899, he was editing and writing for a weekly cultural magazine, the Nividhana. In 1900, he wrote and published a book on the society and different religious sects in Bengal called Bangi Samajigata. In 1901, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested his son to become initiated in the Gayatri Mantra and accept a spiritual master. The Thakur had one very beloved disciple, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, a very renowned Vaishnava saint of Navadvip. It was therefore he who the Thakur requested his son to take initiation from. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur then approached the Babaji for getting initiated, but Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who hadn't any disciples, out of his infinite humbleness, refused to accept such an erudite pandit as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. When he himself could not even write his own name, so disappointed, Srila Sarasvati Thakur went back to his father and related to him what had happened. But Thakur Bhaktivinod sent him out again and again. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came back with the same news. So this time the Thakur told his son, "Unless you take initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, your life is useless and no longer may you enter this house." Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati then set off with great determination, and meeting Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji on a bridge along the road, told him that he would jump off the bridge and kill himself if the Babaji did not accept him as a disciple. He said to him, "My father has told me that human life is worthless without a spiritual master. So if you refuse to accept me as your disciple, I must kill myself." Upon hearing that and seeing the young man's sincerity of purpose, the Babaji accepted him as his only disciple. From the year, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta traveled with Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his pilgrimages to all the principal holy places in India. That's a lot, isn't it? Many. During this time, he compiled a Vaishnava encyclopedia named Vaishnava Manjusha. In 1900, he was staying in Puri, where he began to publicly preach the holy precepts of Srimad Bhagavatam. In 1904, Srila Sarasvati Thakur traveled to in East Bengal. In 1905, he traveled to the far southern provinces of India, lecturing, preaching, writing, debating, fully absorbed in the fire of propagating the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the south, he traveled to places such as Simachalam, Madras, Tirupati, Kanchipur, and many other places of pilgrimage. His strong preaching gave him such a reputation that his very name would strike terror into the hearts of the philosophical adversaries. The perverted and immoral so-called religious activities of different nonsense cults and sects were doomed forever in the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In 1911, at an All India Conference of Pandits in Midnapore, presided over by Pandit Vishwambarananda Dev Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, taking the place of Thakur Bhaktivinoda, who was ill at the time, lectured to an astounded audience on the comparative position of a Brahmin and a Vaishnava. So he tried to prove that a higher position than Brahmin is actually Vaishnava. Vaishnava includes being a Brahmin, if someone becomes a Vaishnava. So and he preached on that. After the discourse, all the people came forward to offer him respect and touch his lotus feet. The president of the conference called him the other self of Sri Shukadev Goswami. The lecture was subsequently published as a book in Bengali. Now there is a part where it is explained that he started... okay. I can read that also. How much time we have? Not so much left. In 1912, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta traveled and preached in different parts of Bengal. In 1913, he established the Bhagavat Press in South Calcutta, which was later moved to Mayapur and then to Krishnanagar, where he began to publish his many carefully edited books. Altogether, he published, edited, and wrote about 61 works, as well as 8 different journals. Once, when he was asked how it was possible to publish a journal every month just about God, then he replied that Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. If you can write so much news about the mundane things, then it is unlimited what you can write about Krishna. Even every second you can bring out a newspaper completely full with Krishna's pastimes, he said. Okay. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada made special studies of the Vaishnava literature of South India and was the first to introduce Bengali translations of the works of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya to the public. Dealt with the relative positions, in Bengal. In his teachings, he has dealt with the relative positions of different Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava schools of philosophy, and he has brought out the difference between empiric and revealed methods of spiritual understanding. He always stressed the importance of publishing and distributing Vaishnava literature as a means of educating the mass of ignorant humanity, and in order to facilitate the printing of books and journals, he established 4 printing presses. He called that the Brihat Mridanga. A mridanga you can hear, it's very loud, isn't it? With the great mridanga, you can hear all over the world. So we, this principle of Shravana, we are hearing Shabda Brahma, the absolute truth comes to us by hearing transcendental knowledge. But Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote everything down, because in Kali Yuga we cannot just listen, we have to read, we have to memorized the books are memorizing everything for us, actually, because we have a bad memory in Kali Yuga. In 1914, on the disappearance of Thakur Bhaktivinoda from this mortal world, the task to carry on the movement of Sri Chaitanya now lay in the hands of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. He took over as the editor of his father's journal, the Sajjana Toshani, a monthly Vaishnava paper in Bengali. Later on, in 1927, he converted it into English fortnightly, called The Harmonist. Okay. In 1918, at the age of 44, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati accepted the title Goswami Maharaj by taking the renounced order of life sannyas. On the same day, he established his first Vaishnava monastery, the Chaitanya Math, at Sridhar Mayapur. So later, he had 64 maths. Great. And every mat attracted thousands and thousands of people. This is very, very great what he did. And all these people started to follow pure Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So this is an incredible achievement that he did. Only someone who is in power could do that. And in all these maths, he established the worship of Archavigraha Diti, form of the Lord, so that his disciples wouldn't become impersonalists, he says. This deity worship was executed according to the principles of Sanatan Goswami's book, The Vaishnava Activity of Vaishnava Activities, Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas. One time, a very important gentleman approached Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada and said that your Gaudiya Math is so nice, you should open up temples in all cities of the world. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied, my real business is to establish temples in everyone's heart. He was such a powerful and bold preacher that he became known as the Lion Guru. Sometimes on walks in the early morning, he would come across some big Mayavadi sannyasi, and he would physically grab him and shake him while verbally chastising him. Thereafter, whenever any Mayavadis saw him coming, they would flee in fear for him. One time, a big impersonalist Vedanta society in Calcutta invited him to debate, on the condition that he could not use Srimad Bhagavatam as scriptural evidence, and so he agreed to come to the debate. Then after a short time, they called him again and said he could not speak on Mahabharat, Ramayan, or any of the Puranas, or Pancharatnas. He also agreed to come on those conditions. Then they called him and said that he could not use as evidence any of the Vedas, Upanishads, or Smriti text, but could speak only from the Vedanta Sutras, and so he agreed to that also. Then they called him up and said that he could not come at all. They were scared of him. He would defeat them on their scripture, the Vedanta Sutra. From the years 1919 till 1929, he was constantly traveling all over India, lecturing to crowds of thousands, debating, destroying various bogus religious sects, and performing parikram with his disciples to different sacred sites, seeking to improve and preserve them. During these travels, he installed footprints of Lord Chaitanya in 108 places, where the Lord had traveled during his sannyas life. At those spots, he also recorded the date when Sri Chaitanya had been there. That's something. Okay, let's see. We can finish this. It's two more pages. We're a little late, but today we should be... Okay, I guess 5 more minutes will be sufficient. In 1919, he completed his preaching tour over northern East Bengal. In 1920, he toured more extensively in East Bengal. In 1920, he also toured the provinces of Bihar, Orissa, and the Santal Parganas, establishing temples in some of these places. And in 1922, he visited Vrindavan, the place of Lord Krishna's pastimes. On this Braja Mandal Parikram, he went with hundreds of disciples and gave lectures at all the major temples and places of the Lord's pastimes. All the major temples and places of Lord's pastimes he lectured. In the year 1925, His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, along with a large group of disciples, went on an extensive tour of Bengal. On this Gaudiya Mandal Parikram, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta visited all the holy places connected with the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. In the early part of 1926, he toured in some places in Assam. His tours during the years 1926 till 1928 marked a very important place in the Gaudiya movement of Sri Chaitanya and in the history of India as well. He brought about changes and improvements in various ways in all the sacred places, as well as brought about a new spiritual insight in the minds and lives of many followers of different religious sects, and brought them all under the banners of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Wherever Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would go, he was received as a savior, religious reviver, and prophet by all who came in contact with him. In most states, he was received as an honored state guest, and in many places was presented with public addresses of reception. All these tours were highly successful, but were not without their problems. Okay, the problems that incurred were actually that there were many caste Brahmins, and they, because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he started to initiate many people that didn't come from higher caste, and that weren't Brahmins by birth, and So then they actually threatened to kill him. They tried to bribe a police officer, but he refused. He says, usually you can bribe me, but in this case, no, because this is a great sadhu. And then he warned Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that they are trying to kill you, so beware. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati also did, what is actually very significant, is that he used this principle of Yugda Vairagya very much. He said that we can use everything in the service of the Lord. And he even would pose in a car. You know, usually sannyasis, they wouldn't ride in a car. And also all these printing presses, he says, we use everything in Krishna's service. It's very, very efficient, you know, in the modern days. And thanks to all these modern inventions and devices of the scientists and modern technology, we can speed up the process of Harinam Sankirtan, the spreading of the glories of the Lord. We can use these things like internet. It's very efficient. Otherwise, I couldn't have printed this out. From my memory, it would have been very little. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, in 1933, he was very eager to spread Lord Chaitanya's message to the West. So he sent some of his sannyas disciples to England to preach and open up Gaudiya Maths in the West. But not being able to convince the Westerners to take up spiritual life, they returned to India unsuccessfully. Fortunately, for the benefit of all people of the world, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada's most beloved disciple, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, carried out His Guru's Maharaj's order and has spread Lord Chaitanya's Nam Sankirtan movement to every corner of the globe, and is now being assisted by thousands of disciples in this preaching work. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, what he did is, whenever he saw someone competent, he would tell him, you are qualified, you can preach Krishna consciousness. So when he saw Srila Prabhupada, immediately he asked him, oh, your English is very good, you're a good speaker, you can. And also he said that whenever you have books, that is what I want. books have to be distributed. So these things, Srila Prabhupada said, I took the desire of my spiritual master as my life and soul. The instruction of my spiritual master, I took it as my life and soul. I accepted that, and that is my success, he said. And Srila Prabhupada very humbly also said that everything that we have, this ISKCON society, all these temples, all the books, whatever we have, is by the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he said, even you have been sent to his disciples, he said, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So you can see the humility of Srila Prabhupada. But also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he was very humble. He would say, if someone would praise him, he would say, you become my enemy. He said, if someone flatters you, praises you, then he becomes your enemy. And if someone criticizes you, he becomes your dear friend. You know. And so, okay, we're almost done. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada has so glad to reveal the transcendental glories of Lord Krishna that whenever he found an eager listener, he would go on speaking, not knowing the bounds of time and space, disregarding the requests of his medical advisors, up to the last moment he continued to deliver the message of the Supreme Lord to all people. This was the only purpose of his divine appearance in this world. He did not appear here by being forced by the laws of nature as an ordinary living being appears. He worked until the last moment of his life without any reservation, disregarding physical pleasure, comfort, or relief to himself. His whole life was absorbed in a mood of loving devotion to the Lord. He was fully devoted to the propagation of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The noble example of his life and conduct, his powerful speeches and numerous publications are evidence to this fact. In 1936, he was residing in Jagannath Puri, and on December 31st, 1936, at the age of 62, he left this mortal world and again re-entered the loving pastimes of Sri Sri Radhe and Krishna in the sweetness of Brajadham, the spiritual atmosphere. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. I think it's too late, but still maybe someone is very eager and has a very important comment to make, or someone is very eager with a question. Otherwise we stop now. At 12 o'clock, if I'm right, 12 o'clock there is a Pushpanjali ceremony for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Okay. Yes.
Just recently read how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur felt when going ashore that Babaji left the world. He was thinking, oh, where is this great Vaishnava? Who will now chastise me? Who will now guide me? Had such a great estimation of him, although he was illiterate and he was a great scholar.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai.